couple verses, and it'll be the launch pad, if you will, for this series that I call Relationships 101. Relationships 101. And we'll begin in Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to read from the King James Version, then we'll look at the Amplified. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Notice what it says in the King James. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, through wisdom is a house builded. The word house in the Hebrew is a word bayith. And that word bayith does not refer to a structure built on a lot. It does not refer to a frame house with wood and with brick and with mortar. The word bayith means family. It's not talking about a condo. It's talking about people. The Amplified says it like this: through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding, it's established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge shall its chambers, every area, be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And so, the Lord is letting us know, through the writer of Proverbs, that through godly wisdom, we can build a life. We can build a home, not a house, but a home, and we can build a family. And if we'll follow after godly wisdom, His intent, His desire, is that every area be blessed and enriched. So every area of your life, every area of your home, every area of your family. And so we have to focus in on godly wisdom if we want to do it His way. Are you with me? Now, another great point in this verse, when it says, through wisdom is a house builded, that word builded, bana, not only means to construct, but it also means to repair. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed to fix some things? I think we all have, haven't we? Well, godly wisdom will help you not only build a life, build a home, build a family, but it'll help you repair a life, repair a home, repair a family. The great abolitionist Frederick Douglass made a statement at one time, and I think it's the one statement of his that he made that I cling to more than anything else he said. And he said, it's easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men. Now, we're in the business of fixing broken men, but it is easier to build strong children than it is to repair broken men. Repairing broken men is a lot of work, man. Anybody who's worked with adults, with men, whether it be in treatment facilities, it's work. It takes effort. But if you can catch them when they're young, build them right when they're young, you're way ahead of the game. Are you with me? And so this series is going to cover a lot of material. This is just an introduction. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about culture. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about children. We're going to talk about all of these things. And so I always, whenever I teach this series, offer my standard disclaimer. All right? Here is my disclaimer when I teach on Relationship 101. If you get offended, it's your fault. Let me repeat that. If you get offended, it's your fault. It is not my intent to hurt your feelings. It is not my intent to meddle in your business. I got enough of my own business. I don't need yours. Are you with me? It's not my intent to heap condemnation upon you. It's my intent to teach you godly wisdom, to teach you kingdom principles, so that you can take these tools and use them and build or repair your life, your home, your family.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says this, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. In other words, what you don't know can hurt you. And many times, we live in such a way that we make those mistakes, we end up in a mess, simply because we don't know the kingdom principles to put into practice to do it right. Or let me say it like this, nobody taught us. See, our biggest challenge when it comes to lives, homes, and families is not the church down the street. Our biggest challenge is our culture. Our biggest challenge is our culture. Because our culture is throwing all kind of crazy stuff at us. You know, hey, this is okay. That's okay. What's wrong with that? Ain't gonna hurt nobody. You know, what's the matter with a little medical marijuana? Well, you know, could you ever imagine that they'd be selling weed, you know, in Colorado? You know, it just some of the things that go on are so crazy that I can imagine if the Apostle Paul were put in a time capsule and dropped into our culture and spent a week reading USA Today, watching CNN, and watching TV, he'd be shocked. Are you with me? Our biggest challenge for us, listen to me carefully now, and for our children, is not the church down the road, but it's the culture. And so we have to teach kingdom principles that are true, tested, and sure so that we can adequately build and or repair our lives, our homes, our families. Now, so I gave my standard disclaimer. If you get offended, it's not my fault. All right? And listen, all of us have made mistakes. I can say that I have. But I live in my present, not my past. Thank God I got saved when I was 12 years old and my life has never been the same. Now, it may have been 12, 6, 34, 52 for you. But you've got to understand that in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And God's grace is on you like you wouldn't believe. So don't get condemned because of what you did yesterday. My job is to help you to avoid those problems tomorrow. Are you with me? And if you happen to be in a situation that's not the way it should be, then you can make the adjustment. All right? You can make the adjustment. The problem is we don't teach this enough, and people don't know. And so they live their lives like the culture around them, and they get in trouble. They get in trouble. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And these are some verses that are very familiar to some of us. But I quote these quite often, especially when I teach this series, Relationships 101. 101 means the basics, basic stuff. This isn't rocket science. This isn't any advanced material. This is basic stuff. Amen. Every Christian should know this. Ephesians 5:15 says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Now, remember, through wisdom is a house, a life, a family built or repaired. Here the writer of the Ephesian letter, Paul, says to these Gentile believers, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That's a big word. What does it mean? It simply means that you live in such a, your life in such a way that you're paying attention to what's going on around you. Okay? You're paying attention and understanding what's going on around you. Circumspect. The two words, spect, look, circum, round. Look around. pay attention to what's going on in your life. And he says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is God's purpose and plan for your life. Where can it be found? It can be found two places. Number one, it can be found in God's Word in a general sense. Number two, it can be found by the leading of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you in a specific sense. So if you don't know what the will of the Lord is, you are unwise. Do you know what happens to unwise people? They get in trouble. Amen. Remember, the writer of Proverbs says, my people, not the world, not the sinners, not the people way out there. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know can hurt you. And so my job is to teach you those things you don't know, help refresh in your memory those things you do know, and most importantly, give you the kingdom principles or tools so that you can do these things. See, I spent a lot of years in the Pentecostal Holiness Church. I still consider myself Pentecostal Holiness. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I endeavor to live a holy life. I'm still part of the Pentecostal Holiness Church. That's me. But there was one thing that they did, and they would preach against sin. Preach against sin. Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't fornicate. But they never taught you how. They never taught you how to live free. They didn't give you the tools to work with. And so people would be out there trying to fight this battle saying, I know I shouldn't, I know I shouldn't, I know I shouldn't, and then they do. And next thing you know, they disappear. Because they think they can't live up to that standard. No, nobody ever gave them the tools. Are you with me? Nobody gave them the tools. You're going to hear some crazy things in this series. You are. I'm going to shock some of you. Oh, yeah, Pastor, I've been around the block. I ain't been shocked yet. Yeah, hang on to your hat. Hang on to your hat. Now, if I happen to say something or share something and I get too close to home, just smile, look straight ahead. Nobody will know. Nobody will know but you. Are you with me? But understand, my intent is not to hurt anybody's feelings, offend anybody, expose anybody. I'm here to give you tools to work with. Amen? Amen? So, the writer of Ephesus, that letter to the Ephesian church, Paul, says, be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. It's revealed through the Word. Amen. His Spirit leads us and guides us in His will. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs that through wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built or repaired. Now, the key is we have to focus on the kingdom of God, not our culture. Now, that does not mean that we ignore the culture. It does not mean that we fight the culture. It does not mean that we are oblivious to the culture. Paul connected with people where they were. When he went to Rome, he went up to the hill where all the philosophers were throwing down, and he got right in there with them, and he connected with their culture. He said, some of your own poets have said this, and you have a memorial to the unknown God. He's the guy I'm gonna reveal to you today. He connected with them where they were. He said in another portion of scripture that he wrote, he said, I've become all things to all men that if by any means I might win some. And so we can't be oblivious to the culture. But we have to have enough sense to know the will of God and walk in it and avoid those things in the culture that we know are contrary to God's will without being ugly. You with me? How many of you know we all grow and mature? I remember one time I did something stupid. I was a commercial lines underwriter for Nationwide Insurance, and, they were having a business reception, and I went, and they had this big bar, and I'm not a drinker. I don't drink alcohol. I think for a minister, it's the wrong thing to do. Are you with me? The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. If you're the kind of person who drinks alcohol too much and you get intoxicated, you need to put it down. See, I was the kind of person, I was very observant when I was young, and I watched what alcohol and drugs did to the generation ahead of me. And I thought, I don't want to live that way. You know? And so I never did do drugs. I didn't miss anything. Hey, I got plenty of friends who did. You know, I was not a drinker. I think in my whole life I may have had one six-pack, and that was in 1 year. 1977. Haven't touched it since. I just don't like it. And for a minister, I think it sends the wrong message. Now, you do what you want to do. I'm talking about me. And see, that's the one thing about it. That's probably why I haven't taught this series in 3 years. Because, you know, when I talk about relationships and marriage and the family, I share so much about me. And in the last few years, so much about me has been so out there that I just like to keep some stuff to myself. I'm serious. You just get tired of revealing your whole life to people. You know? I shouldn't have to do that. But yet, I'll be transparent for you because I should lead by example. And so, I've never been a drinker, never been a druggie. And I know some of you have, and some of you have fought real battles to overcome, and some of you are still fighting those battles. But I'm just going to share some things about me. And so, you know, they had this reception. They had a big bar out there, and I went, I got offended. Left early, went home. You know. And so, one of the guys from the company said, Bill, why'd you leave? I said, well, y'all serving liquor. And he thought, well, you know, I'm sorry I offended you. We still had a great working relationship and all that stuff. But see, I realized my actions were wrong. Okay? Now I can go to a function like that and they have a bar. I'm not offended. I'm not drinking it. Are you with me? But I'm not offended. I want to connect with those people so that I can win them. You with me? And so never develop this holier-than-thou attitude where you look down your nose at people, you know, and you think you're all that. You ain't all that. Apart from the grace of God, you're nothing. But thank God we've got His grace. You see that? So now somebody can offer me some weed, and I just say, no, thank you. I don't get all huffy. Bob, brother, you're going to hell smoking it. No. He knows he's going to hell. I didn't have to tell him. He knows. But if I connect with him, maybe I can win him. You know? So we got to take a different approach. Jesus didn't run from them who were publicans and sinners. In fact, he was criticized because he ate with them. And the holy crowd went to his disciples. How come your master eats with publicans and sinners? We don't. And Jesus said, yeah, because you think you don't need any help. But the sick need a physician. But you think you're okay. What they didn't realize is they were going to bust hell wide open because of their holier-than-thou attitude, thinking they were better than everybody else. And so what I'm going to do is give you some tools so that you can live in this culture, not be considered a nut. You with me? Connect with people where they are. Love them, win them, develop a great relationship with them, but not participate in what they do. And it's not that hard. Are you with me? I can go someplace where people are drinking and have a Coke. Do it all the time. Hey, to be honest with you, I want to let you know something. You can be a Christian, live your life for Jesus, walk in holiness, and have fun. Did you know that? You can have fun. Listen, Valerie and I have more fun than most people that I know. We do. We have a lot of fun. Now, we live and walk a holy life, but you can have fun and serve Jesus. And you don't have to stick out like a sore thumb, walk around with a Louisville slugger, you know, ready to bash somebody over the head. No, you need to be able to love people and minister to them where they are. Amen? Amen? You want a whiskey with that? No, I don't do whiskey. You want a beer? No thanks. You know. Well, what do you drink? Got any apple juice? That'll work. I used to have people all the time at work. They come, Bill, you, hey, give me don't drink? I said, what do you mean I don't drink? You don't drink anything? I said, well, I like water. I like lemonade. I like est. Well, I mean liquor, alcohol. No. And then they go, oh. You know, what are they going to say? You know? Why not? I don't care for that lifestyle. I've seen what it does to people. Are you with me? See, now my, you know, here I am again talking about me and my family. But my daddy, when he was young, oh man, a good weekend for him was to go out and get drunk, get in a fight, and get locked up. All three. And he was a cop. But he loved it. That was the rough and tumble family that I came from. Thank God I wasn't exposed to them people too much. Last time we had a family reunion was 1997 down in Oxford, North Carolina. And, you know, there were cousins I had never seen. And I get out there and I had a big, nice van, you know. And they, you know, every time I turn around, hey, take me to the liquor store. No. How come? I ain't going to no liquor store. I didn't drive all the way to North Carolina to take you to the liquor store. Well, what's wrong with you? I don't drink. I'm sorry. You want to go to the liquor store, find somebody? They got mad at me. Because I wouldn't take him to the liquor store. I'm not going to get off on a tangent here. But our culture. Okay? We've got to learn how to live in this culture, connect with people, develop relationships, love them, without being mean, without being condemning. Are you with me? So that we can help them build their lives, build their homes, build their families. If you would turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to look at another verse here. Remember where we started. Through wisdom is a life, a home, a family built. Notice Proverbs 2. And we'll look at verse 6 and 7. Notice what it says. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. In other words, God gives us wisdom that we can use. And not only that, He stored it up for us and sort of hidden it away, so that everybody doesn't have access to it. Here's what that verse, these verses say in the Amplified. For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He hides away sound and godly wisdom and stores it for the righteous. Those who are upright and in right standing with Him. And He's a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity. See, God will get you back when you walk in integrity. Amen. When you live by the Word. When you walk in godly wisdom. Amen. God stores it up and sets it aside for you. What an awesome opportunity we have. Amen. And so my job is to share some of that wisdom with you throughout this series. Now, notice He said sound wisdom. That simply means that His wisdom is tested. It's tried, it's true. It has existed since the beginning of time. It worked then, it still works now. Amen. I said it worked then, it still works now. Amen. You know the great thing about the Bible? It reveals so much. I mean, God doesn't hide stuff. We can go in the pages of the book, the Bible, and find things about people's lives. Not just the good things, but the bad things. Now, why did God include the bad things? So that you could learn from their experience and avoid those bad things in your life. Amen. See, the Bible reveals the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. It's all there. But yet, men like David, who made mistakes, he made some awful mistakes. He made mistakes that cost people their lives. One time he made a mistake and a bunch of priests were killed because of what David did. And we know about the situation with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. But yet, in spite of those mistakes, David is considered a man after God's own heart because he sought after godly wisdom and he ran after God's presence. You know, there have been people who've used people who've, you know, we have revelations of their downfalls and their shortcomings in the Scripture. And there have been people say, well, I'm like David. No, you're not. Oh, yeah, David. David, you know, did this. I'm like, no, you're not. Whenever David was confronted with his sin, he repented and never repeated it. He was a man after God's own heart. Are you with me? And there have been people who have tried to use excuses and all kind of silly stuff. I'm going to talk about some things that you may not have heard in church before, or church before. I'm going to say some things. I'm never vulgar. I don't do stuff like that. But I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to share the truth. I'm going to give you the tools that you need to work with so that you can build or repair your life, your family, your home. Okay? But it all begins with godly wisdom. Through wisdom is a house builded. God stores up sound wisdom for the righteous. Now, here's what we're doing. We are actually looking at God's original plan and intent for us. Or I like to say it like this, we're going back to the manufacturer. Paul wrote and said, you know, for it is God who created us and not we ourselves. He made us with a specific purpose in mind. In fact, I touched upon this a few weeks ago in Ephesians 2:10. It says, for you are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works before the foundation of the world. In other words, before God created the cosmos, He was thinking of you and had a plan for your life and had it all laid out. Before He created the earth, the moon, the stars, He was thinking of you. Now, it's hard to wrap your brain around that concept, but it's true nonetheless. And He has given us wisdom that we can use, practical stuff, so that we can walk out His purpose and plan in life. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to do it God's way. Because His way works. Amen. It's always worked. Amen. It will always work. Amen. You know, the great thing is there have been a lot of people, and there again, our main challenge is the culture, who've come up with all these goofy ideas, did a little bit of study. You know, they know just enough to get themselves in trouble. Just enough to get themselves in trouble. And, you know, and I've spoken with many of them over the years, and they just had goofy ideas, ungodly ideas. You know, I had one guy tell me years ago, he wanted to discuss Job with me, and I thought, you know, you really want to go there? Let's do it. And I said, well, here's how God blessed Job after his tragedy. He said, nah, well, he didn't really live 140 years after that. Those were knowledge years. Only knowledge years. I said, well, it also says that he gave birth through his descendants to three more generations. His sons, his grandsons, and great-grandchildren. That's not knowledge years. Those are real years. And he looked at me and said, oh. I had another guy say something to me one time, just made an outrageous statement that was untrue and ungodly. And it was at the barbershop. You know, you get some of the worst stuff at the barbershop, in the beauty salon. And I just couldn't take it. And I said, I know where you got that from. That is not true. And he said, oh? I said, yeah, here's who made that statement, and he's a nut. And here's something to refute that statement. And you know what he said to me? Oh, they don't know. They don't know. And a lot of times we fashion our lives after people in our culture who are clueless, dumb as a rock, but they found a marketing tool. And so we want to be like them. We want to emulate them. You know? One of the biggest challenges I have in life is driving down the street and seeing guys with their britches down below their butt. And I want to yell, pull them pants up. What's wrong with you? Don't nobody want to see your behind or your britches? But I don't. I did yell at one guy a couple years ago. It was funny. It was. But anyway, you know, why in the world would you do that? Stand on a corner with your butt out. Why would you do that? In the wintertime. In the wintertime. Got your pants below your britches. Rear end hanging out. Why would you do that? You're trying to emulate somebody. You'll suffer physically just so you can be cool. No, it's cold. That's what it is. It's cold. Anyway, I'm not going to get on the clothesline. You know? That's not my point. All right, let's look at one last scripture. Colossians chapter 1. You guys still with me? Good deal. Colossians chapter 1, talking about relationships 101. Oh, yeah. Making good time. Colossians chapter 1. Now, here Paul writing to the church at Colossae. Now, here's another thing I want you to understand. We read the Bible many times and we think that these people were like what we've seen in Sunday school books or in movies when we were in Sunday school. That they walked around and they had halos around their head, you know, and they walked around like this all the time, you know. No. These were rough and tumble people just like us. There were some guys on Jesus' ministry team who were characters. I mean, think about it. How would you like to have a team where one person was a thief and killed himself? Another guy committed assault with a deadly weapon, tried to kill a guy in the Garden of Gethsemane, tried to cut his head off. The dude ducked, and all Peter got was an ear, you know? And, I mean, these were some of the people that Jesus said. There were two guys, James and John, who were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. You don't get a nickname like that if you're a wimp. I bet you these guys had a rep. I bet you if one got offended, they both fought. Sons of Thunder. These were some pretty tough guys. And you got all kind of characters that you see in the Bible. And for some reason, we read the Bible and we think, well, these people lived in a time where, you know, everything was so repressed and they didn't understand things about the world. These people were very cosmopolitan, very educated, very knowledgeable about a lot of things. And we'll talk about some of these cultures that existed back then. Listen, see, in Gentile culture, sexual immorality was common and accepted. Common and accepted. Nothing new. If you really want to know the truth, there's nothing new under the sun. The things that we face today, they faced thousands of years ago. And the way they got victory thousands of years ago is the way you can get victory today. Amen. Because this wisdom is sure, it's tested, and it's true. Amen. It still works. Amen. We're dealing with the same devil they fought years ago. Amen. Well, he's been defeated. All we're doing is enforcing his defeat by walking in the wisdom of God. Now listen, Here's one thing I want you to understand. We've got to understand kingdom principles and be, say this with me, kingdom-minded. Okay? If you're not kingdom-minded, then you're going to be culture-minded. I have a good friend, Robin Roberts, who said this, if you're not kingdom-minded, then you're kingdom-blinded and you'll be carnal. If you're not kingdom-minded, then you're kingdom-blinded and you're carnal. You'll live as a slave to your body for the rest of your life. Your body says, I want that, and then you figure out a way to get it. Not knowing that it's not the will of God. Or knowing it's not the will of God, and not having the tools to resist. Well, I'm going to give you the tools, okay? Amen. So, what are we going to talk about in this series? We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about covenant. That's a word that's foreign to too many people. They don't understand what covenant is and what it means. We're going to talk about communication. You cannot have a good relationship with anybody if you don't have good communication. You with me? I call this sweet thing every night on the phone. We talk. Every day. You know why? Communication. Free flow of information and ideas. That's how you get to know somebody. You know what I mean? Be careful in developing relationships with people in our culture when you don't know them. Well, Pastor Bill, the Bible says, you know, we got to love. Yeah, but it doesn't say you have to trust. We have a commandment to love. We don't have a commandment to trust. And there are many people who get involved in relationships, internet, online, dating services. We're going to talk about all that stuff. Nothing wrong with that in and of itself, but you got to get to know people before you develop a real relationship with them. That's how people get burned. That's how people get killed. Okay. Happens all the time. We read about it in the newspaper. Well, Pastor Bill, I'm so shocked that he did this and did that. Well, how long did you know him? 2 months. Duh. I'd say you rushed it a little bit. Are you with me? We live in a culture where that is common. You know, I'm not going to go too far today. So we're going to talk about relationships and covenant. We're going to talk about communication. We're going to talk about sex and intimacy. I stumbled over that one. Sex and intimacy. You get it? Sex and intimacy. That's always the challenge. See, everybody's afraid to talk about it. I'm not. Anyway, but we'll talk about it from a godly wisdom standpoint. We're going to talk about money. Listen, the Bible talks about it. Why don't we? Amen. Right? The Bible talks about it. So should we. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about children, how to raise them and influence them for good. Amen? It's going to be good. I don't know how long it'll take, but we'll just take our time. Amen? So relationships, 101. Come back next week for part 2. I guarantee you, you'll learn something you didn't know before. Amen? Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? Yes, He is. I'm so glad you... mind, you can get... of this message. If you want to keep the whole series, you can wait and we'll put it in a CD.